turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, while you're turning, if you missed this morning's sermon, it'll be posted online Tuesday. If you missed it, I want you to get it. I preached a sermon this morning called Waiting Does Not Mean Doing Nothing. Waiting does not mean doing nothing. And a very important truth for your Christian life, I promise you. Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. Listen to me, this is a little different. I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. You join me on verse 9. Okay, everybody got that? I'll read two verses, and then you can join me on the third one. Instead of, because I'm just trying to conserve a little bit of time here. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I need you tonight in a special way. Lord, would you take this grovelly, sick voice and would you empower it? Would you give it the strength that you want it to have? May we listen with your power tonight with a warning shot from the Word of God to help us in these last days, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me first say, I believe with all my heart we are living on borrowed time. We're living in the last days. We are at the midnight hour. And I'm not scared. I'm excited. Somebody says, aren't you discouraged about all the nastiness in politics? Bring it on. That's one step closer to home, baby. I get excited about it. Now, I need your mind. I'm going to jump right into the sermon. But I want you to listen with purpose tonight. The devil wanted to be boss or king over God. Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. He not only wanted to overthrow God, he probably was the fourth most powerful being in the universe. You had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then you had three archangels. You had Gabriel, Michael, and then you had Lucifer. And we know that at one point in time, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel. It may be in Jeremiah. I can't remember which. But at one point in time, Lucifer was doing battle with one of the other archangels. And the other archangel had to come. And they still couldn't overpower him. He was probably the most powerful of the three archangels. And he led his group of angels against, in a rebellion against God. And God said, you're done. And God created hell for the devil and his angels that followed him. God kicked the devil out of heaven. And Satan now wants to still try to destroy God. Let me say this. God's not trying to destroy you. God's trying to destroy God. He figured there's only one way I can truly hurt God. That is if I go after his children. Can I tell you something? To this day, you can do a lot, but you go after somebody's kids, you're going to get a fight. You can say whatever you want about me. You can say whatever you want about how I look, how I smell, how I act, my preaching, whether you like me or not, you don't bother me. But boy, you attack my wife, you attack my kids, look out, here I come. I can put up with a lot, but it's real hard when somebody starts attacking your kids, amen? Now, wait a minute. Satan doesn't have a plan or a will for your life like God does. Satan only cares about hurting God. Let me say that again. Satan doesn't have a specific will for your life. He doesn't care if you end up in the bar and laying in your vomit on King Street tonight, or if you're going to the Catholic Church. It doesn't matter to him. He just wants you out of God's will. He'll do whatever it takes to get you out of the will of God, and he doesn't care what it is. He doesn't have any specific plan. He just wants you to go your way, not God's way. He doesn't even care if you go his way. As long as you go your way, you won't be going God's way. That's why Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone according to his own way. That is exactly what the devil wants for you in your life. Now, he wants you to have what you want, not what God wants. So many times, as I preached this morning, we get upset with God when we ask him for what we want, and what God wants for us does not match what God wants. You think God's unfair. God's trying to keep you in his will, not following your will or the devil's will. Everybody doing all right? All right. Hang in there. You see, he wants you to choose the spouse you want to choose, not the spouse God has for you. Ouch. See, too many times we start looking and say, well, this is what I want. Doesn't matter what you want. What does God want? I've been married 26 and a half years to the same woman. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you why? I waited till I found what God wanted, not what I wanted. Let me say it this way. The devil wants you to choose the church you want, not the church God wants. That's why the Mormons will put on their trucks everywhere, you know, go to the church of your choice. Doesn't matter what your choice is, what's God's choice? A lot of people sitting in churches this morning that shouldn't have been there, they should have been in the right church. Boy, that's a good statement. See, the devil wants you to choose what you want over what God wants. Young people, he wants you to choose the college you want, not the college God wants. As a senior in high school, I had an opportunity to go to several different colleges. I had a chance to go into semi-pro baseball right out of high school. I got two contracts offered to me to go to AA, pitching and playing third base for AA for Kansas City Royals, Cleveland Indians. Had contracts offered to me. Dr. Jerry Falwell called my home twice, said, Craig, he said, I think that with your grades, I think that with all that you have going for you, I want you to come to Liberty University. He said, I'll give you a 2-year scholarship. Said, don't want it. God called me, and I'm going to Hiles Anderson. He waited a week or two, called me back. He said, Craig, he said, I met. He said, I'm going to give you a 4-year full scholarship. Just come to Liberty. We'll pay your whole way. I said, Brother Jerry, I appreciate you, but I'm not going there. I'm going to Hiles Anderson. He said, what does Hiles Anderson have that Liberty University doesn't have? I said, the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
15 years ago this week, we put Brother Hiles to rest for his funeral. On the Friday night memorial service, Dr. Jerry Falwell was there. I walked over, introduced myself to him, and Jerry Falwell had a photographic memory. He forgot nobody. He was an amazing person. Didn't like his stand, but he was an amazing person. He said, Craig Bush, haven't I spoken to you? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're from Ohio, aren't you? Yes, sir. I was on staff for Brother Hiles. He said, aren't you the young man that told me you wouldn't come to Liberty University? You were coming here because it was God's will and that's what it had to offer. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know that you're the only young man in all my years of the ministry that's ever told me that. Obviously, you made the right choice. Amen. Yes, sir. Wait a minute. God wants a certain will for your life. The devil wants you to choose a good college, not the best one. You see, the devil doesn't care whether you're drunk, drugged, dancing with prostitutes, or whether you're just doing what you want. He just doesn't want you doing what God wants.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The devil makes a counterfeit in every area of life so that you don't have to choose God's plan. Listen to this statement. The devil's counterfeits are not always bad. They're just not what God wants. The devil has a counterfeit for every area of life. And the devil's counterfeits are not always bad. They're just not what God wants. You're not a success in life till you find what God wants. Not a success in life till you do what God wants. You see, success is finding what God wants you to do, doing it, and doing it where God wants you to do it. But may I say this, the doing of God's will is more important than the doing of it in a certain place. But if you're doing what God wants, He'll direct you to the right place. Did you know soul winning is what God wants, and you can't win the wrong person to Christ? If God calls one of our young people to go to the mission field and they go to Mexico instead of going to Canada, but people are still getting saved, I think God will forgive them. And I think if they're in God's will, God will show them where they're supposed to be. But as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do, He has a better chance of showing them where to do it. But God can bless the what anywhere, and that is the key right there. Now, He doesn't care what the devil doesn't care what you do. He just doesn't want you doing what God wants you to do. The devil knows that he's not going to tempt most of you with the nastiness of this world. Thomas, I don't think the devil's going to tempt you with alcohol. Don't think it would work. So the alcohol draw for some of our young people, Julianne, I don't think the devil's going to tempt you with marijuana. You live with your mother. She's loopy enough. Amen. Ouch. She's not here to defend herself. She'll beat on the wall in a moment. Wait a minute. Told you. I was waiting on it. Thank you. You know, the devil isn't going to tempt our young people with all that nastiness. We look at that and say, that's stupid. I'm one of those kids that grew up in church and singing the song, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I can't sing that and really mean it, because I'm still doing what I did as a kid, mostly. And wait a minute. So he has to offer something else that's not quite as bad, that's actually good, in order to tempt them. You see, we've watched people, as young people growing up in church, ruin their life with alcohol and drugs and immorality and all those things. And it's not a big draw, but if that's what it took, he would do it. So he comes by and offers other things. Marginal Christianity. Well, they're not bad people, but they're not God's will. It's not a bad place, but it's not God's will. See, the devil will offer different versions of the Bible. He doesn't call them perversions, he calls them versions. Well, it's still a Bible, it must be okay. If it's not the King James Bible for English speaking people, throw it away. Don't give it to somebody, throw it away. It's poison. See, it appears to be good, but it's not good. You now have churches that say, well, we're not going to, we'll call ourselves, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this because there's about 40,000 of them. We'll call ourselves a church of the open door. We'll be Baptistic, but we won't put Baptist on the sign. That's a church you stay away from. They don't have the courage to put the name on the sign. They're not going to preach it in the pulpit.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Are they doing all right? Well, we'll call ourselves a Bible church. There is a Bible denomination, just so you know. Well, it's an independent Bible, and I'm not naming a specific church. But may I say this? Well, we're Baptistic, but you're not Baptist.
That's right.
You're non-denominational like the rest of the Protestants. Everybody doing all right? Told you, I'm going to have fun here. Now we're getting to the main part of the sermon. Get ready. You cannot be right with God and be wrong on the church.
Amen.
You cannot be right with God and be wrong on the church. These pro athletes, that they make a touchdown and they get down and on one knee, and we think, boy, look at how wonderful of a Christian they are. They're not in church every Sunday. They're not a good Christian. I like Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning's not a good Christian. Now, you compare him to some of these other perverts in professional football, and he looks pretty good. But, folks, I don't get my food out of the trash can and say, well, it looks better than some of the other trash. Everybody doing all right? Good Christian doesn't promote Budweiser. Ouch. Man, am I having fun right now. By the way, it doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean that they do bad things. I happen to know Peyton Manning does a lot of good things. But he can't be doing the will of God by missing church every Sunday to play football. Okay. Now, the word church means called out assembly. It is a God called out assembly of people, of believers. Now, it's not just a religious assembly. It is a called out local assembly doing the will of God according to the word of God. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch this. He instituted a local church. These idiots, these non-denominationalists, and these Calvinistic Baptists get up and teach dispensationalism. They get up and say, well, in the book of Revelation, those seven churches represent seven different church ages. It says to the church in Thyatira, to the church in Smyrna, to the church at Ephesus. Those were specific churches in specific ages. And by the way, they weren't prophetic churches. They weren't ethereal churches. It wasn't, well, we're all part of one giant church. We're all part of this universal bride of Christ. No, the bride of Christ won't be the bride of Christ till after the rapture. And he calls us out of this world and we all go to heaven together. Then we become the bride of Christ. You're not the bride of Christ yet. We're espoused to him, the Bible says. It doesn't say we are his bride. We are espoused to him. Everybody doing okay? I want you to notice something here in your Bible. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, the synagogue of Satan. Wow. Did you know a synagogue is not a church? The word synagogue is not the word church. The word church is the word ekklesia in the Greek language. It means called out assembly. The word synagogue is the word synagogo or synagogu. Either way you pronounce it. And it means a religious assembly other than a church. A general assembly meeting. It also means to entertain. The word synagogue is a group of religious people, but not for God's purpose of church. It's for entertainment. It's so people can come together and say they've had a religious experience. And the Bible says that there is a synagogue of Satan. Notice synagogue is not capitalized there. It's not just one. It's just like a church. There's many churches. Are you doing okay? Now, these synagogues of Satan are churches or religious affiliations, and they are the devil's counterfeits to Christianity. The synagogue of Satan is a counterfeit Christianity, making Christians stumble, and it is the temptation by the devil to ruin God and the local church. Everybody doing okay? Now, we're about to get hot and heavy here real soon. We have good people who used to be in good churches who have dabbled with the synagogues of Satan and have brought the synagogue of Satan into local churches and have destroyed local churches. Now, those churches don't do what God wants, they do what they want. Just like the devil wanted. Why do churches want to go to the Satan's synagogues and the synagogues of Satan colleges to go after what Satan wants for them, their programs, their books, their curriculums, their influences, and say, well, we're having religious things. These are higher class. These are more cultured. I hate to tell you something, but whatever the devil has to offer as a counterfeit, I don't want it. Tonight, I want to warn. I want to prevent. Not here to scold, but I'm here to warn. I've been around Christianity a long time. I've watched great churches crumble. I've watched two churches that were two of the largest churches in the world at any one point in time in their pinnacle that are just a fraction of what they used to be. You go to my hometown, Canton Baptist Temple used to run 10, 12,000 people. Tonight, their evening service, they might have twice as many people as we have tonight. They meet in the Sunday school room for Sunday night church. On their platform, in their main auditorium, they have electric guitars, drum sets. They have their praise and worship team that gets up in their, the women get up in their britches, jibber jabbering and flopping all over the place for their praise and worship time on Sunday morning. Brother Henniger would throw a cotton picking fit if he were alive today. That's not what it was all about. Everybody doing okay? I got to hurry. I got 4 points, 5 points. I got 3 points. And I got 20 minutes. Let's see if I can do it. Number one, a church in name, but not according to the Bible, is a synagogue, not a church. A church in name only, and one that does not follow God's plan for the local church, is a synagogue of Satan, not a church. Churches with wrong doctrine are synagogues of Satan. If somebody teaches you that you get to heaven other than by salvation, by grace through faith, it's a synagogue of Satan. And baptistry doesn't take anybody to heaven. Joining this church doesn't take anybody to heaven. Somebody that baptizes or accepts baptism by sprinkling or pouring is teaching bad doctrine. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Somebody that says that you're not saved until you have a changed life is preaching wrong doctrine. Well, you got to have repentance. You're right. Repentance is salvation. You go from trusting yourself to get to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ to get you there. Period. End of discussion. Thief on the cross didn't change his life. He got saved and died and went to heaven. The other one didn't get saved and died and went to hell. Ritualism brought into churches is not the gospel way. My in-laws up in northern Minnesota, folks, they have what they call up there Northern Baptist churches. That's what the American Baptist broke from, and the Southern Baptist broke from the American Baptist. That's how far removed the Northern Baptists are. You got a bunch of Swedes and Norwegians up there that have brought the Catholic and Protestant ways into Baptist churches up there. For about the last 10 years, a Baptist church in the town where her folks are from have observed Lent in a Baptist church. And I hate to tell you this, any church that's wrong on that book right there is a synagogue of Satan.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Yep. By the way, it's not just preserved, it's inspired.
Amen.
If they don't believe both, it's a synagogue of Satan. See, that's strong terminology, preacher. I didn't use it, God did.
Amen.
Bringing the world's music into the church makes it a synagogue of Satan.
Yes,
rock music in a church, it makes it a synagogue of Satan. Hang on, it's going to get a little hotter. Bringing bad doctrine to music in a Baptist church. I believe we ought to have right doctrine in our music when we sing. I work real hard at making sure we pick the right songs in our songbook, because some of them aren't just quite up to snuff doctrinally. And there's a couple of them, these Yardbirds print new songbooks and they change the words. And every once in a while we catch it. Anybody doing okay? Do you know that before 75 years ago, you'd have never heard classical music in a Baptist church? New wave of fundamentalism is to bring orchestration into church. Let's have our orchestras. We'll show everybody how cultured we are. It came from the Methodists and the non-denominationalists and the Presbyterians and the Nazarenes. Anybody doing okay? There wasn't a Baptist church 75 years ago that ever had orchestras. Now, I'm not saying they're sinful, but we've gone to the world and the non-denominationalists and the churches with bad doctrine and brought that stuff into our churches. And by the way, usually when they have their orchestration, they quit their soul winning because they're too cultured. Man, am I having fun. So not only do we have rock music and bad doctrine with music and the classical music, by the way, thank God we don't play classical music up here. We play old-fashioned songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the way it ought to be. But we also, number four, shouldn't play honky-tonk music either. I have a hard time stomaching Christian radio. I'll get to that in a little while, by the way. Most of that stuff sounds like the old Loretta Lynn stuff. Everybody, hey, sliding and can't find their note, and they're getting that old husky voice and everything else. God have mercy. They got all their, they'll take old arrangements and syncopate it to make it sound new. What happened with the old stuff? Everybody doing all right? Then we have our high-tech entertainment type churches. They're synagogues of Satan. Well, we'll have a drama. We'll have musicals instead of preaching for Christmas cantata and Easter cantata. Come and we'll share the message in song. I have but one word. I'm for good music. I'm not against having a cantata, but if you don't have old-fashioned preaching afterwards, you didn't have church. Anybody doing all right? Man, am I having fun. I got to hurry. A church in name only, but not according to the word of God, is a synagogue of Satan, not a church. Number two. Here we go. Heat's going to get turned up just a little bit. Thank God the furnace turned off. These synagogues are not bad places. They're just not what God wants. These synagogues are not bad places. They're just not what God wants. By the way, usually their pastors are real suave.
Yeah, yes, sir, that's right.
Debonair. Or as Brother Hiles used to say, deboner. Good night. They look like they walked out of GQ magazine. And the wife looks like she came out of, I don't know, what's one of the ladies' magazines that are fashion magazines or whatever. They got their dude hair and they got their polished nails and they go get their pedicures and hoof-a-cures and all those other thing-cures and they go to their spas and all that other kind of stuff, and they wiggle when they walk just right, and they look like they are the perfect couple. Lord have mercy. The Joel Osteen and his wife mentality. By the way, that's exactly the type of person I'm talking about. And we've allowed it to creep into Baptist churches. I know of three Baptist churches that are very large churches running thousands of people that went to Joel Osteen's to find out what his building looked like to design their new buildings after his. Christian radio mentality. Say, preacher, are you ever going to be on Christian radio? Nope. Number one, nobody wants to hear me. Number two, they wouldn't leave me on the air. Number three, who wants to be the 47th preacher in line? I know of a church. There's a new Hollywood movie out. Somebody gave me a copy of it. I haven't had time to look at it because it's not real high on the priority list. There's a new movie out. I think it's called War Room, something like that. I think it's a decent movie as far as Hollywood can produce. But I know Baptist churches that for their Sunday night service showed that movie for their entire service. That's wicked as hell. I hate to tell you, but as long as I got breath in this body, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before that ever happens. Just so you know. Everybody doing okay? By the way, anything Hollywood puts out about the Bible, it may be cleaner, but it's not right scripturally. They've never got it right scripturally, ever. Godless people can't teach you that book right. Promise you. Now, it might be better than some of the other trash out there, but again, why do we want to compare ourselves to the trash of the world? Amen. Hang on. Some of these places aren't bad places. They're just not what God wants, like Bible colleges. Here it comes. Talking about Liberty University. It's not a Christian college anymore. Just so you know. It's Christian in name only. And by the way, the world says, boy, they're far right wing. If they think that's right wing, I'm not even on the planet. Because that's about as liberal as you can get and still call yourself a Christian in my book. Hang on, got a couple more. Talking about Bob Jones University. 1980, I went there with my high school for a competition week. I was there 2 days and almost got kicked out twice. Bob Jones University is a Methodist college. Always has been. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is an old-fashioned Methodist. He used to preach salvation, right? And had his doctrine of salvation, right? But he was a Methodist. He sprinkled people. Everybody doing okay? I got almost kicked out because I would join the preaching contest. They looked at my outline and said it was too hard and I wasn't allowed to preach it, and it was about the King James Bible. Well, Bob Jones Jr. and Bob Jones III, I was in Jr.'s office and they got the sermon because I preached it at them while they told me I couldn't preach it. And I said, your daddy's buried in that fountain out there, and he used to believe this. What happened to you? Ooh, that didn't go over real well. Hang on. I'm talking about Pensacola Christian College. Pensacola Christian College is a non-denominational college. There is no local church attached to it. They have their campus church. Sunday night, they have Vespers. Number one, that doesn't sound like anything I want. Number two, we believe the King James is the Word of God in its original language. Everybody doing okay? You can go online, check what they their girls' sports wear shorts and pants. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to stop there. There's others I could name. I won't. Then you have what I call Synagogue of Satan church programs. This is going to rub somebody raw. Talking about Awana. 1990, Awana started printing curriculum in 6 different versions of the Bible. That was over 15 years ago. Almost over 20 years ago. Awana is so far away from the Word of God, and it's never been a local church program. It is a Bible-based program for churches, but it didn't come out of the local church. Now hang on to your hats. This is where I'm going to make somebody really ticked off. But I'm talking about Patch the Pirate Clubs.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Ron and Shelley Hamilton are graduates of Bob Jones University.
Yes, sir.
Majesty Music, Frank Garlock, is from Bob Jones University. Are doing okay? It is not local church based. I know Ron Hamilton. My wife and I have hosted Ron Hamilton 30 years ago, 25 years ago, not 30 years ago. Ron Hamilton goes to a Baptist church, supposedly, but he's not Baptist only. His doctrines are not Baptist only. Are you doing okay? And Patch the Pirate Clubs, though I think it's not a bad program, it's not local church. I'm talking about Youth for Christ. Back in the 60s and 70s. Oh, let's get our young people. We'll go to college campuses and we'll win them. Youth for Christ has never been local church. Then after a few years of that, then you had to dress like the local college people to go witness to them, because you had to be like them to reach them. I know of 2 Bible colleges in the state of California to where when their young people go out soul winning, listen to this, they don't let the guys wear ties. They have to wear casual pants and casual shirts because they have to fit in with the California culture, because people won't listen to you otherwise. I can name those colleges right now. One is in Lancaster, California. The other is in Santa Clara, California. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. I'm going somewhere. Talking about our drug addiction programs in these churches. RU is not a local Baptist church program. I'm not saying that it's bad. But it's all it is a 12-step program knocked down to a 10-step program, worldly program with a Christian name to it. That's all it is. Same philosophies. Talking about promise keepers. These are all not bad things, but they're counterfeits by the devil.
That's right.
Well, what's so wrong with them? It's not God's will. It didn't come out of the local church.
Amen.
I gotta hurry. I have 4 minutes. Let me finish with this. We at Grace Baptist Church don't need to partner with nor spend time with people influenced by those influenced by the synagogues of Satan. Here's where I differ with some preachers. Brother Stoltz, come on over here. You're gonna represent the devil's crowd. I want you to stand right here. Here's what happens. You say, I'm not going to associate with that. I'm not going to associate with the Catholics or the Methodists or the Nazarenes or the Presbyterians or the Episcopalians or the Church of Christ or the Mormon Church or whatever you want to call that mess. So I'll stay over here. But, and I'm not going to associate with the non-denominationalists. But here's what happens. A Becca Christian School curriculum comes out of Pensacola Christian College. Non-denominational people. And we send our young people to Christian schools who fill their minds with non-denominational doctrine. And we associate with it. Hate to tell you, but when we start a Christian school, we're not using a Becca curriculum. No, I don't hate to tell you that.
Amen.
See, you draw your line right here. Brother Gus, can you jump up here real quick? He's going to represent the guy that sends everybody to all those places and gets influenced by them. I'm not even going to associate with this guy. Now, I won't be unkind to him. If I see him on the street, I'll shake his hand. He might even go out and go soul winning. Maybe. Sometimes. You know what? I'm for him getting people saved. But I'm not going to associate with him. Because he's, all of his influence is right there. I'm going to stay over here. That's going to be our influence.
Yes, sir.
And if it's not right there, you're not bad people. I'm just not going to spend much time with you. I'm not going to your luncheons. I'm not going to your conferences. I'm not going to hobnob with you and all those things. I'll be nice to you. I won't necessarily call your name in the pulpit and say you're of the devil. But I'm not going to associate with people that are associated with the synagogues of Satan. Make sense to everybody? Thank you, man. You can have a seat. Listen to me very carefully. Say, well, how do you know this about a Becca curriculum? Because I've been involved in Christian education for about 30 years. I went through every piece of a Becca curriculum about 15, 14 years ago. Only two times in 13 years of curriculum that did the even the name King James come up in the curriculum. Once was in reference to the person for the King James Bible, and the second was to say that it is a good translation. And that was 14 years ago. I found over 3,000 pictures in their curriculum that had ladies wearing breeches, partial or full nudity, and things that were contrary to Bible standards. And that was 14 years ago. Doctrines that were so wrong, it's not even funny. I can't even go into all the study I put into it. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to go to non-denominational people to let them influence your children when it comes time to educating them. Why do we want to go to non-denominational people? And we wonder why Christian schools in America are the hardest thing for a church to maintain. It's hard to maintain standards. It's hard to maintain conduct, hard to maintain attitude. And I'll tell you why, because they're getting all their curriculum from the synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I don't want to send our young people to their schools. I don't. I don't recommend those colleges. I hate to say this. I don't recommend the college I graduated from in 1989. They have changed on that book. They have changed on their standards. It is not what it used to be 15, 18, 20 years ago. And I do know what I'm talking about. Modern contemporary churches now don't have church buildings, they have church campuses. I know of very large churches, Baptist churches, who are changing. Listen to this statement. Once a month, they shut church down on Sunday night, and they have about 100 homes that they'll open up for people in different areas around the area, and they'll have home meetings instead of Sunday night church. Bless God, unless there's a blizzard, we're having church.
Amen.
We're not going to have home cottage meetings. That's non-denominational. The new rage, we've adopted it from the non-denominationalists. Well, adults don't like the term Sunday school. It just pricks their culture. So let's not call it Sunday school. We'll call it adult Bible fellowships. Puke. Why do we want to impress and be like the world and the non-denominationalists? We don't have worship services. We have preaching service in church. Hang on. I have two churches right now, one in California, one in Michigan, supposedly leading America in a fundamental direction. They dabble with this garbage. Brother Coral sat in my office two and a half weeks ago. Brother Bush, my daughter went on a ski activity with a church in Michigan. He said, my daughter and my wife were the only two ladies there wearing skirts. The pastor of that church got up and said, our girls and our ladies no longer can wear skirts. They need to wear pants when they go skiing or horseback riding. Pastor in California says, I make my wife do that. Now, ladies, if you can't do it in a skirt, you probably shouldn't do it.
There you go.
I'm not mad. I'm just being real honest right now. Then they'll try to tell you, we're not changing. We're just keeping up with the culture. It's more modest. My Bible says that a woman shouldn't put on that which pertains to a man. Fellas, when we go to a banquet, we shouldn't be wearing a skirt because it's more modest. That would not be modest. Say, well, that's just absurd, preacher. I think it's just as absurd to tell your ladies to go ahead and put breeches on to go skiing.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Sorry. Told you I'm old-fashioned to the bone. It's more acceptable. Well, I've been doing unacceptable things according to the world standard a long time ago. Why do I want to be accepted by the world? Why do I want to be like the world? Now, some of you ladies, you may wear pants. I'm not angry at you as your preacher. You'll grow. I'm not mad at you. I want you to grow and find out from the Bible what the Bible has to say about it. But for the preacher to get up and say, it's okay for you to do that, something's wrong in that church. Sorry. And I'm not mad. But I know both of those pastors personally. Everybody doing okay? I'm done. I just want you to know, this church, this preacher is going to get labeled because I not only am not going to associate with the synagogue of Satan, I'm not going to associate with the people that are associating with the synagogue of Satan. Some would call that secondary separation. You can call it whatever fancy term you want to put on it. I just want to make sure we're influenced by pure doctrine. Pure doctrine. When you start sending your young people to those kinds of colleges, don't tell me that you haven't changed. I don't care how pure you used to be when you're associating with it, you're on a slippery slope. I'm going to put you at pretty good distance. Why do we want to let people who preach wrong doctrine and we fill our heads with it on Christian radio, Christian TV? Charles Stanley has never been a fundamentalist. Who's the other dude that's like Charles Stanley? Yeah, Chucky Swindler. I mean Swindoll. And then you got James Dobson, Hocus Pocus on the Family. This complex in Colorado Springs, $35 million complex, listen to this, and over $25 million of it came from the Catholic Church and bought it for him. By the way, got his psychology degree from secular universities, the same psychology degree that any secular psychologist gets. And he uses the same material. He just finds different translations that he can pervert to twist to make it sound Christian and has made multiplied tens of millions of dollars on it. Man, I'm having fun. Listen to me. You say, well, you're not going to get a big crowd that way. I'm not commanded to get a big crowd. I'm commanded to preach the truth. We're supposed to live the right way. I realize I'm a little bit more separated than most. That doesn't mean I'm the most separated person in the world. But may I say this, I keep things at a distance, and when people start associating with the wrong things, with the wrong programs in their churches, and they're going the wrong direction, by the way, I watched these churches and I watched them change, and I'm watching these Baptist churches suck this stuff down from the non-denominationalists, and they quit their soul winning, their churches start dying, and they just want to say, well, it's because people don't want culture anymore. They don't want refinement. No, they want the power of God. They don't want the trash that doesn't work from the devil. A synagogue is Satan's counterfeit to the local New Testament Baptist church. Young people, if you'll listen to your preacher tonight, I just saved you an awful lot of heartache. Well, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to find. No, you don't go find the will of God for your life. You just start doing what God says. He'll bring his will right past you and you're going to say, Shazam, there she is. Hello, there he is to you girls. Find nowhere in Scripture where somebody went looking for the right spouse and found them. You get the right spouse by God bringing them your direction.
Yes, sir. Right.
I do know what I'm talking about. Man, am I having fun. I got to shut up here. Can I tell you something? You might get mad at your preacher because I don't associate with some of your old friends or my old friends. But I happen to see who they're associating with, and I just step back. Matter of fact, I don't even have to step back. They're the ones stepping away from me to go there. I'm on the same road. I'm plowing the same furrow. They just got off track. I'm saying, come back this way. If you come back over here, we can spend time. But as long as you're over there, have a good day. That's what the synagogues of Satan will do. They're counterfeits. The devil has counterfeits in every area. Don't forget that. He doesn't care how you end up. He just wants you to do what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. I want Grace Baptist Church to do what God wants us to do. I want each and every individual in here to do what God wants us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, and I'm not saying that anybody in this room is guilty of any of those things. That's one reason your preacher preaches pretty hard against Facebook and social media, because we hobnob with people that are part of the synagogues of Satan with it. Let's just be careful. Let's decide we're going to lock in, honker in tight with the Word of God, with the local church, do what's right, listen to the Word of God, the man of God, and do it the right way. I'm not God. I don't want control of your life. I just want us to do it God's way.